Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
Excellencies, the horror must stop. It's high time for a ceasefire, along with the unconditional release of hostages. I welcome the peace initiative recently outlined by President Biden and urge all parties to seize this opportunity and come to an agreement.
As calls grow for Israel and Hamas to back a ceasefire and hostage deal in Gaza, the World Health Organization's warning over 8,000 Palestinian children have been diagnosed with acute malnutrition. We'll speak to a top Palestinian diplomat at the United Nations and look at how there were more armed conflicts last year than in any other year since the end of World War II. But first, we look at the ethics crisis at the Supreme Court. We'll speak to a filmmaker who made headlines this week after she secretly recorded Justice Samuel Alito agreeing that the country should return to, quote, godliness.
There are differences on fundamental things that really can't be compromised. They really can't be compromised. It's not like you're going to split the difference.
We'll also speak to a reporter at ProPublica who won a Pulitzer Prize for reporting on Justice Clarence Thomas's long record of taking free trips from Harlan Crow and other Republican billionaire donors. Justice Alito also attacked ProPublica. We'll get Justin Elliott's response. All that and more coming up. Welcome to democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The official death toll in Gaza has topped 37,200 people, nearly 16,000 of them children, with more than 85,000 injured. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, head of the World Health Organization, warned famine spreading in Gaza.
A significant proportion of Gaza's population is now facing catastrophic hunger and famine-like conditions. Despite reports of increased delivery of food, there is currently no evidence that those who need it most are receiving sufficient quantity and quality of food.
This comes as deadly Israeli attacks continue across the Gaza Strip. Fresh attacks on the Nusayr refugee camp have killed at least five people, while Israeli soldiers are using explosives to level buildings in the center of Rafah. Meanwhile, Israel's far-right finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, said this week he will confiscate some $35 million in Palestinian tax revenue and transfer the money to Israeli families who have lost relatives in Palestinian attacks. On the diplomatic front, world leaders from the G7 nations are meeting in Italy, where the U.S. says it'll push its allies to back its proposed Gaza ceasefire deal. Hamas has responded to the proposal, but on Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said some of the group's requested changes are not workable. Hamas responded in a statement, quote, "While Blinken continues to talk about Israel's approval of the proposal, we've not heard any Israeli official voicing approval," Hamas said. The Republican-controlled House of Representatives Wednesday voted to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress for refusing to turn over audio of President Biden's interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur. The Justice Department has already released the full transcript of the interview. Hur was tasked with investigating Biden's handling of classified material. He did not bring any charges against Biden, but Republicans claim they need the audio as part of their impeachment effort against the president. New York Democrat Jerry Nadler blasted his Republican colleagues as he spoke from the House floor.
The Judiciary Committee under Republican control has spent the last 18 months and $20 million taxpayer dollars in a desperate search to find something, anything, that they can use to damage President Biden and to protect Donald Trump.
The Justice Department, which Garland oversees, is not expected to prosecute Garland. In other news from Capitol Hill, Senate Republicans Wednesday blocked a Democratic bid to pass ethics and transparency legislation for the Supreme Court amidst mounting corruption scandals around the court's far-right justices. Meanwhile, in the House, Congressmembers Jamie Raskin and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have announced a new ethics bill for the Supreme Court, which AOC said has been, quote, captured and corrupted by money and extremism.
The constitutional and democratic crisis and threat that this current corruption crisis on the court presents is a threat not just to American way of life and American democracy, but it is a threat to our lives. People have died and are dying after the Dobbs decision. People have died and can die with the rollbacks of environmental provisions.
This comes as newly published audio recordings show Justice Samuel Alito lashing out at ProPublica, which exposed Clarence Thomas for accepting lavish gifts from conservative billionaire Harlan Crow over decades. We'll have more on this story after headlines with ProPublica reporter Justin Elliott and documentarian Lauren Windsor, who went undercover to record Justice Alito's remarks. The Southern Baptist Convention has voted to oppose in vitro fertilization, a statement approved Wednesday by delegates to the church's annual meeting in Indianapolis, calls on Southern Baptists to, quote, reaffirm the unconditional value and right to life of every human being, including those in an embryonic stage, unquote. Southern Baptists are the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S., with nearly 13 million members. Their opposition to IVF comes just months after Alabama's Supreme Court ruled frozen embryos have the same rights as children. In climate news, Capitol Police arrested 8 climate activists Wednesday after they rushed the field of the annual congressional baseball game in Washington, D.C. Ahead of the protest, the group Climate Defiance blasted game organizers for allowing Chevron to co-sponsor the game and noted Congress has failed to pass a single climate change bill this year. This comes a day after police in New York arrested dozens of climate activists as they held a protest outside the headquarters of Citibank, which continues to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in the fossil fuel industry. Among those arrested was Dr. Sandra Steingraber, a senior scientist with the Science and Environmental Health Network.
Why are you getting arrested?
I'm a biologist. I'm not interested in fighting eulogies for the species that I study.
I'm not interested in writing eulogies for the species that I study, said Dr. Steingraber as she was being arrested. Meanwhile, indigenous-led climate activists rallied outside the White House this week, demanding President Biden halt the flow of oil through the Dakota Access Pipeline. This is Doug Crow Ghost, water director of the Standing Rock Sioux.
We come to you as Standing Rock and Cheyenne River youth, members of this country, members before the United States was even the United States, before states were states. We were a people of this country, this nation, this indigenous land. We are indigenous children. We are here to protect the water, the land, the air, and the environment.
The protest came as the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission gave the go-ahead for the highly contested Mountain Valley Pipeline to begin operating. The 300-mile pipeline is set to carry 2 billion cubic feet of frack gas daily through Virginia and West Virginia, despite vocal opposition from local communities and environmental groups. In another setback for the global climate movement, Swiss lawmakers have rejected a landmark ruling by the European Court of Human Rights, which found in April Switzerland violated the rights of older women by failing to impose policies curbing the climate crisis. The group of women plaintiffs called the Swiss government's response a betrayal. And the Democratic Republic of Congo officials say at least 42 people were killed by suspected rebels with the Allied Democratic Forces in the eastern province of North Kivu. This comes as more than 80 people were killed in a shipwreck on Kwa River. The DRC has far fewer paved roads than other nations, leading residents to more frequently travel by boat, often in unsafe conditions. In Kuwait, at least 49 people were killed when a fire swept through an overcrowded six-story building housing immigrant workers in the city of Mangath. Dozens more have been hospitalized for burns and smoke inhalation. Most of the victims were Indian nationals. Under Kuwait's kafala system, foreign workers who make up the majority of the private sector workforce have weak labor protections and are barred from forming unions. Argentina's Senate has narrowly passed far-right libertarian President Javier Milei's highly contested reform bill. As lawmakers debated the measure Wednesday, protesters outside the National Congress in Buenos Aires were met with riot police who deployed tear gas and made multiple arrests. Among other things, the bill imposes sweeping austerity and privatization measures and slashes labor rights. Opposition Senator Martín Lastó spoke during Wednesday's debate.
This bill gives everything, instantly and forever, to the big companies. And it tells pensioners to wait. The big companies get less taxes and tax stability for 30 years. In the tax package, Argentina's biggest millionaires get less taxes and stability for 15 years. But pensioners who contributed for 30 years don't even know how much money they'll get next month.
Among the planned spending cuts is the dissolution of the government office dealing with gender violence. The head of that office, Claudia Barcia, resigned last week. The bill must now go back to the lower house, which already approved the measure, could be fully approved later today. And in Ecuador, activists are holding 2 days of protest to oppose plans by the government of Daniel Noboa to cut fuel subsidies. This is Nelson Erazo, leader of the General Union of Workers of Ecuador.
The homes of the workers cannot stand another blow to their economy. The measures adopted, such as a rise in the value-added tax, caused an elevation to the already high cost of living. Consequently, that incremented the price of fuel. This condemns most Ecuadorian households to poverty and misery.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. Republicans have blocked a bill in the Senate to implement a Supreme Court code of ethics after a series of reports of ethics violations, including that justices accepted unreported gifts and travel. This comes after Justice Samuel Alito refused to recuse himself from former President Donald Trump's immunity case after photos emerged of two flags associated with election deniers flying in front of his homes. The An Appeal to Heaven flag flew at Alito's New Jersey vacation house last summer. It features a pine tree and is found in far-right Christian circles. And an upside-down U.S. flag flew outside Justice Alito's Virginia home in January 2021, a symbol used by election deniers.
Meanwhile, newly published audio reveals Justice Alito questioning whether the United States can overcome its polarized political divide, appearing to endorse a Christian theocracy. Alito made the comments at the annual dinner of the Supreme Court Historical Society on June 3rd. The audio was secretly recorded by documentarian Lauren Windsor, who posed as a conservative activist. In the recording, Justice Alito agrees when Windsor says she hopes to, quote, return our country to a place of godliness. Justice Alito appears to rule out compromise between polarized political factions.
One side or the other is going to win. I don't know. A way of living together peacefully, but it's difficult, you know, because there are differences on fundamental things that really can't be compromised. So it's not like we're going to split the difference.
In a separate recording from the same event, Justice Alito's wife, Martha Ann, complains about rainbow flags during Pride Month, quotes at length from the Bible, assails feminists as feminazis, and boasts of her German heritage. This is part of Lauren Windsor's recording of Martha Ann Alito.
What I want a Sacred Heart of Jesus flag, because I have to look across the lagoon at the Pride flag for the next month.
Exactly.
And he's like, oh, please don't put up a flag. I said, I won't do it because I'm deferring to you. But when you are free of this nonsense, I'm putting it up and I'm going to send them a message every day. Maybe every week I'll be changing the flags. There'll be all kinds. I made a flag in my head. This is how I satisfy myself. I made a flag. It's white and it's yellow and orange flames around it. And in the middle is the word vergogna. Vergogna in Italian means shame.
That's Martha Ann Alito, wife of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, speaking in this secret recording to our next guest, Lauren Windsor, executive producer of The Undercurrent and the upcoming documentary film Gonzo for Democracy. Lauren, welcome to Democracy Now! In a moment, we're also going to be joined by Justin Elliott. But why don't we start off, even before getting into the content of these recordings, can you talk about the scene there, how you got into the Supreme Court Historical Society event that had so many of the Supreme Court justices? And if you can tell us who was there and how you ended up talking to the Alitos as well as the Chief Justice.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Amy. So I bought a ticket. I was a registered dues-paying member of this society. So I showed up. I walked in and, straight into the cocktail reception. At first, it appeared as though Justice Alito wouldn't show up. And just for some context, I had gone to the dinner the prior year in 2023 and spoken with Justice Alito. I didn't publish anything from that reaction at that conversation at the time because it just wasn't newsworthy. And so I thought in the intervening year in 2024 that he might have some different responses. So I was hoping that he would show up, and he did. I spoke with him in the cocktail reception before the dinner, his wife after the dinner in the Great Hall upstairs. So there were two different separate conversations, but it wasn't hard to speak with either of them.
And talk about who you presented yourself as to them, why they spoke to you.
I said my name was Lauren. They didn't ask for any more than that. And, you know, I presented myself as a fan and a Catholic, and ask them questions. There was very little questioning of me, really none whatsoever.
Lauren, could you explain the significance of the venue at the Supreme Court Historical Society? What is this organization?
Well, so it wasn't at the Supreme Court Historical Society. It was at the Supreme Court, which I think makes this all the more compelling when you have a sitting Supreme Court justice in the holy of holies of jurisprudence, telling us that he can't be impartial. This is bedrock. This is foundational to our democracy.
And Lauren, talk about what most struck you, but why each of them said. In fact, this was not your first conversation with Justice Alito.
Right. So when I initially talked to him in 2023, I asked him, I said, you know, everything is so polarized in this country right now, and I just wonder how we ever get beyond that. Do you see a way to repair that rift in this country? And he said something to the effect of, I don't know. I don't think that's our role. So at the time, it was about as expected. And I certainly didn't go into either of these conversations thinking that I would be able to obtain a newsworthy conversation with a justice. These are individuals who have to operate professionally at the highest degree of discretion. So it should tell you something that he felt comfortable enough to make these admissions to an almost virtual stranger. Yes, we had met in 2023, but that interaction, you know what, maybe a maximum of 5 minutes, probably less. And yes, I brought up that interaction to give him some level of comfort in this year in 2024. But to assure him, we're rooting for you. We're fans. We want you to know that you have all of the grit and you're a fighter. And the saying grit was a bit of a wink to a tweet that Donald Trump had put out where he said, more justices should be like Justice Alito. They should have the grit that Justice Alito has. So it was a way of just being coy with him of, hey, we're on your side. We're Trump supporters.
Could you comment also, Lauren, on some of the comments that his wife made, Martha Ann Alito, including about designing a vergogna flag, the Italian word for shame, in response to LGBTQ plus pride flags?
I'm sorry,
flags.
I'm losing the audio. I can't hear what you're saying.
Can you hear me now, Lauren?
Vaguely. It's the audio is really low.
Well,
Well, why don't we go to...
I can
to,
hear you now.
Oh, you
can
hear
me now.
Okay, so let me repeat the question.
Sure.
Some of the comments made by Justice Alito's wife, Martha Ann Alito, about designing a vergogna flag, the Italian word for shame, in response to LGBTQ pride flags. If you could comment on that and what else she said.
I found it pretty shocking that the wife of a sitting Supreme Court justice would be so comfortable having such a discussion. I was a stranger. I had never met Martha Ann Alito before. When she said that it gave her satisfaction, it satisfies me to imagine the flags that I would create. It was shocking to me that she would feel that level of comfort. I think that it's indicative of her level of being ideological and also a window into her husband's ideology that she would be that, I think, aggressive in her antagonism of the LGBTQ community.
And I also wanted to go to back to Samuel Alito, a very short clip that you recorded when he agreed with you that people need to fight, quote, to return our country to a place of godliness. Listen carefully.
People in this country who believe in God have got to keep fighting for that, to return our country to a place of godliness.
Oh, I agree with you.
So, Lauren Windsor, I'm wondering if you can comment. These secret recordings have launched a firestorm in the journalistic community. There are many saying that you shouldn't have done this undercover. What is your response to having access to these justices?
Well, I think it's really cynical to attack me for a lack of ethics when we're talking about a Supreme Court that, you know, we just saw Clarence Thomas have to refile his ethics reports because of ProPublica's reporting exposing millions of dollars of gifts from GOP donors. I would ask journalists not to be so credulous to the right-wing spin on this, that what incentive structure do I have to lie about this? You know, this is a David and Goliath situation here. I'm really hitting a hornet's nest when you're talking about a whole network, the weight, the heft of the conservative legal movement is coming after me. And if you think for a moment that I didn't have to vet this thoroughly with my attorneys and with Rolling Stone's attorneys, my partner in distributing this audio, I need you to really think, read between the lines here and see who's attacking who and why and what they're trying to protect. Because at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't do me any good to torch my own credibility and also open myself up to, you know, these endless right-wing attacks from Leonard Leo and his associates. This is the Leo court at the end of the day.
And how easy is it to get to speak to justices of the Supreme Court who make the, you know, who are ultimately responsible for so many of the laws of this land?
Well, if you have $150, you can become a dues-paying member of the Supreme Court Historical Society. Then you can buy a $500 ticket to this dinner. So it's about $650 a year in order to rub elbows with the Supreme Court justices.
Well, when our guest, documentarian Lauren Windsor, recently posed as a conservative activist and secretly recorded Justice Samuel Alito talking about why he believes the Supreme Court is, quote, so targeted by the media, including by the news outlet ProPublica, which recently won the prestigious public service Pulitzer Prize for what Pulitzer judges described as, quote, groundbreaking and ambitious reporting that pierced the thick wall of secrecy surrounding the Supreme Court to reveal how a small group of politically influential billionaires wooed justices with lavish gifts and travel, pushing the court to adopt its first code of conduct. In the audio Windsor recorded, Justice Alito said, quote, ProPublica gets a lot of money and they have spent a fortune investigating Clarence Thomas, for example. You know, everything he's ever done in his entire life. And they've done some of that to me, too. But they look for any little thing they can find, and they try to make something out of it. ProPublica issued a statement in response, quote, ProPublica exposes abuses of power, no matter which party is in charge, and our newsroom operates with fierce independence. No donors are made aware of stories before they're published, nor do they have a say as to which stories reporters pursue. ProPublica also noted it publicly posts a list of its large donors.
Meanwhile, in other Supreme Court news, Justice Clarence Thomas has finally acknowledged taking more free vacations paid for by billionaire conservative megadonor Harlan Crow in a filing Friday. Thomas disclosed he accepted two trips in 2019, one to Indonesia, the other to the Bohemian Grove in California. Last year, ProPublica revealed Thomas had failed to disclose at least 38 luxury trips gifted by Crow and three other right-wing billionaires dating back decades. For more, we are joined by Justin Elliott, the reporter for ProPublica, whose latest piece is headlined Justice Clarence Thomas acknowledges he should have disclosed free trips from billionaire donor. Again, ProPublica recently won its seventh Pulitzer Prize for its Supreme Court coverage. Congratulations on that prize. Your response first to what Justice Alito's attack was basically on you and ProPublica, and then the latest that you've discovered, and your response to these secret recordings.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Justice Alito, I was surprised and disturbed by one of his comments in particular, which was that these stories were ideologically driven, that they happened because we didn't like the court's decisions. A little bit surprising to hear from a Supreme Court justice based on absolutely no facts. I can tell you exactly how these stories started because I was one of the couple of reporters doing them, which was we started poking around on the topic of travel of Supreme Court justices. We had a big stack of public records from the U.S. Marshals who provide security to the justices. And the justices' names weren't even on those records. The names were redacted. We started to see references to private jets. And through months of reporting, my colleagues and I were able to figure out that Harlan Crow, the Dallas real estate billionaire, was providing private jet travel to Justice Thomas. And we started publishing stories about that. We took a very hard look at the Democratic-appointed justices, and we simply haven't found anything close to similar to what we found when it came to Justice Thomas and Justice Alito. So the idea that this was somehow ideologically motivated and not us just pursuing, going where the facts led is just wrong.
And what about him saying, sharing his belief that the battle between secular and religious forces in America is a zero-sum game, stating one side or the other is going to win?
Yeah, I mean, I was. It's interesting to hear a justice speaking this candidly. After writing about Supreme Court for more than a year now, we had all of our interview requests declined. Lauren had a lot more luck talking to the justices than we did. I think Justice Thomas released a statement once to us, but these justices are generally, they generally just don't speak to the public except in extremely controlled environments. So this is pretty interesting.
Well, Democratic Congress members Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Jamie Raskin said Tuesday they would introduce new ethics legislation for the Supreme Court. Ocasio-Cortez spoke on MSNBC Tuesday before Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of the Senate Judiciary Committee blocked the proposal in the Senate.
To have any one of our co-equal branches be completely unaccountable to the others is paving the path to authoritarianism, tyranny, the abuse of power in the United States, and it is structurally completely unsustainable. And so it is not a question of if Congress has jurisdiction and power over the Supreme Court. It is what power are we going to exercise in order to rein in a fundamentally unaccountable and rogue court.
So that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. If you could comment on what she said and speak about some of the legislation, ethics legislation, that's being suggested.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting and paradoxical things about the Supreme Court compared to other parts of our government is there are very few ethics rules. You know, I got, as I learned about this as we did this reporting last year, I got so many calls and emails from ordinary federal government workers who were shocked after we were reporting, you know, Harlan Crow and these other billionaires were paying for, you know, literally millions of dollars worth of travel and other gifts for Justice Thomas, because they said, you know, we can't take a lunch that costs $50 or maybe even a T-shirt from a conference. So even members of Congress ethics have much more strict rules than the court. So the bill that was being debated on Capitol Hill yesterday, blocked by Senate Republicans, I believe, believe, would tighten some of the gift disclosure rules, tighten the recusal rules, and create a ethics complaint process by which members of the public could submit complaints, and a panel of federal judges would look into